Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the crazy marriages that we have.
Yes. Yeah. And I brought our favorite saint, or my favorite saint, with us today to help us to tackle this topic, St. John Paul II. Mm-hmm. And we did a great, I love the topic. We did a series on givenness. Mm-hmm. We're working on putting that together so that folks can have access to it as a series. But he loved marriage so much, you know, and I just think he's the saint of our time to help us with these marriages, these difficulties through. And he was very Carmelite. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that we would be talking of Teresa of Avila, you know, under his patronage and care too for marriages. So anyway, he's joined us in studio. I love having in studio relic guests.
Yeah, we got a first class relic, which is quite amazing. I think we started the Givenness series talking about this. So if you want to get that story, check that out.
Yeah.
So last show, we talked about what it means to be an authentic disciple of Jesus and the divine intimacy secret, which is...
if you address the spiritual first in your marriage, then communication, relational, so friendship and the sexual aspect of your marriage will get better exponentially.
Right.
If you address the spiritual first. And that's our promise. That's what we've seen. That's what we've witnessed. That's what we've lived.
And that presumes that if you don't,
you're going to have issues.
And you just try to deal with things at a psychological level, which is not... it's important to do that.
Yeah.
But you got to get the spiritual right first.
Yeah. It's akin to if you just keep dealing with, you know, the wounds from a secondary wounds from an infirmity, right, that you're carrying, you're never really going to get to your healing if you don't deal with what's causing it in the first place. Right. And that spiritual sickness, that spiritual death, you know, I was just reflecting on this the other day, that I was thinking, you know, we have an entire world full of people that in essence are starving to death, and they may come from very affluent means. They might live in America where they have access to food and water and all of this, but spiritually they're starving to death. And until you fix that problem, nothing's going to get better.
And you know, maybe this is not the right way to address this, but I am disturbed by, I guess, a little bit by an opposing position where people will say, no, you have to get the psychological first, then you can deal with the spiritual. And I was just thinking about, well, what would that be like in the first century? I mean, and before I say this, we have psychologists in our community. We're working, you know, with one who's helping us to put together another layer of care in marriage ministry. Mm-hmm. So very much respect the proper healthy aspect of those services to people. But let's say you're in the first century and Jesus is the Messiah has come. I mean, in what circumstance would you ever go, well, I don't really need to go see Jesus right now.
I'm going to go see my psychiatrist.
Right. I mean, that just struck me about, wait, that's totally absurd.
It is absurd. If you think about it, it's like, no. Jesus no longer heals. Let me go talk to my psychiatrist.
Or it's just not as important, you know.
Right.
It just makes no sense. So anyway, and this is why we say, if you're going to get your marriage right, healthy, you got to deal with the spiritual first. Did you have a quote you wanted to share?
Well, I don't know that it's...
it fits right now.
Fits right now, but okay. I will pull it up when it's time, because I think what we wanted to talk about, we talked about in the last show, about how to enter into the castle, what's that means.
Getting started.
You know, getting started and what that looks like. And we're referring to Teresa of Avila's Journey Through the Castles, the interior castle. her classic work, right? And then what we've done in the marriage retreat is created a parallel to what that looks like in marriage. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful revelation that as we were working on this, I was just like, I kept seeing the image of the castle. And I thought, wow, this could be amazing. Let's talk about what that would look like in marriage. What mm-hmm. does it look like to enter into the castle, to enter into greater oneness and go deeper and deeper into the castle so that you can become one with your spouse as God desired it, right? Just as he's desired us as individuals to become one with him, he wants us to become one with our spouse in him, and therefore he can animate and bless us and then bless in and through us to those that he entrusts to us. So I just love it. I love using this analogy of the interior castle. So that's what we did. We talked about the interior castle last time.
Yeah.
And we want to say, you know, we're not going to roll all that out because there's a lot of content there. You'll have mm-hmm. to come to a marriage retreat to hear the rest of that. But I think that way of looking at marriage is really important to think, how do I grow one with God? And therefore, can I make a parallel to how I can grow one with my spouse?
And I don't want to create a kind of a false timestamp on this recording. So, you know, if you want to find our marriage retreats, go out to spiritualdirection.com/events. But in terms of where we are as we're recording this, which I won't say specifically, we are like one or two seats to fill in the current marriage retreat that we have scheduled. So
they always
fill up. Yeah. So it's rarely, you know, rare that we have where all the seats aren't filled. So, but I did want to touch on a few things related to spiritual progress and the effect on marriage.
Okay.
You know, so one is when you start to get your prayer life where you're dealing with Jesus. And when you become more self-aware, like we taught in the last show about how we do a daily exam and you start to do that, the effect of it is it's multitudinous.
You're making up words again.
No,
that's a Danism.
No, that's an actual word. The effect is quite profound. I mean, and it has many facets. So it produces humility. Mm-hmm. Because we're becoming aware, most of the time it's because we become aware of our brokenness and we enter into conflict with our spouse and we go, we realize how much of a player we are. We're more guilty than we thought we were in causing the problems.
And if you want like a shot of grace into your arm to figure this out a little quicker, do a novena to Our Lady of Sorrows and ask her, give her permission to reveal to you what is the barrier between oneness between you and your spouse. Mm. And I will guarantee you, she's not going to show you the sin of your spouse.
Mm, you're right.
It's just not how she works. She's going to show you, she's going to say, my daughter or my son, this is in the way.
This is your contribution.
Like, and she does it gently, but it's powerful. And she's done it to me a million times. She's done it in my relationships with our children, with you and everything. And every time that I've tackled what she has revealed to me, it's made a space for grace and things have gotten exponentially better. Every time.
It's interesting that the counter thought that I had related to that is if you hear in prayer or in whatever is revealed to you that your spouse is the problem, you what's that source?
It's not the Lord.
Right.
It's not the Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's no doubt it's the devil.
That person, your spouse is a narcissist. Your spouse is broken. Your spouse is XYZ. That's not the Lord,
right,
dear or son.
So when you enter into that first mansion, you're entering with the two things we talked about last time, prayer and reflection.
Yeah.
So you self-awareness increases. The other thing is the moment you step deeper into the castle, you're closer to who?
The Lord.
You're closer to the Lord.
Right.
And you're farther from who?
The enemy.
The enemy. So now we got to be honest about this part. And give people the real scoop about what's going to happen. It's actually going to get harder before it gets easier.
And people go, well, why would I do that? Why am I going to go and set on a path that's just going to make my life harder, whatever? Mm-hmm. And I want to give you another secret. This is a mystical secret. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to a beautiful, holy Catholic exorcist about this. And he was sharing with me, he said, you know, Steph, when things start to come, it's not that the prayer or whatever's going on in your life or in your loved one's life or whatever is causing it to happen. What's happening is the grace entering into the relationship or the life or the family or whatever is revealing what was already there and what hidden.
Yeah.
What was hidden. So it pulls back the veil, and that darkness, that conflict, that issue comes to the surface. And why is that? Because God is merciful.
Yeah.
And if you can see the enemy, then you can deal with the enemy through his grace and be able to overcome that, which is what you often hear. And you'd find out more about this in Devil in the Castle.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway, so if you can't see the enemy, how are you going to battle an invisible issue or the issue that is taking down your loved one or you? You won't be able to, because you won't be able to see clearly. You're just going to feel this tension and this difficulty, and you're going like, something's not right, and I, you know, whatever. So you start praying to the Lord, and then it breaks through, and it's like, oh no, my prayer caused this. And it's like, no, your prayer and the Lord's grace revealed the hidden problem. Because we know, exorcists tell us this, once they know the issue, once they know the name of the demon, that demon's toast. It's just a matter of time, right? Once they've revealed their qualities or who they are, their attributes or their names. Now, we don't speak directly to demons, but you get the point. Once we know where the battle is, then we can attack it.
Just to plug Devil in the Castle, if you want to learn more about it, I talk about the exact issue in the early mansions, in the second mansion in particular, because what happens is it feels like things are getting worse, because as you said, your eyes are now open. But it isn't necessarily worse, because you're actually, you know, fundamentally you're further from the power of the enemy to dominate you, and you're closer to God and his power and his cleansing. So we've got to go to the break. So when we get back, we're going to continue just talking about a few more aspects of dealing with these early stages. And what I want to talk about is one very powerful tool out of the psychological sciences that's actually proven in terms of in studies. It's not a pop psychology thing, to help relieve some of the pressure and difficulties and dynamics of arguing and escalation when you're first beginning to work on these things, which will happen. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
New course, the Abel Institute, surprise! Mystical Wisdom of the Desert Fathers. This is going to be fantastic. Dr. Michael Gamma is just, everybody loves Dr. Michael Gamma. He's a very holy guy. And I've actually been reading a lot of the Desert Fathers lately. I want to take this course, but I don't have time. But if you do, it's a School of Spiritual Formation course. Maybe I do have time. Maybe I'll just.
Yeah, I'm thinking I don't have time is a,
is,
you know.
It's baloney.
Yeah.
It's spiritual School of Spiritual Formation, which means, you know, Dr. Gemma can teach graduate studies courses, but he also teaches these to those who are busy. If you want to learn about the monastic tradition, desert solitude, men and women who were holy and lived in the desert, and what does their pursuit of God look like, and how did they pray? The Mystical Wisdom of the Desert Fathers, avila-institute.org. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. For the break, we are talking about the progress of the soul and deeper into intimacy with God. And one of the tools that we teach at the retreat, which is one that we've used in our own marriage, and Stephanie absolutely loves the tool.
I hated this tool when you taught it to me. I was like, no, he's going to make me use the speaker listener technique again.
Right. So.
So guess what? Guess who needed it really badly?
You.
Me.
Especially you. Yeah. So the producer's like, whoa, you're getting in. She's worried. She's putting up a shield. Something's going to happen over here. But yeah, it's super powerful. It's called technically it's the PREP method. I don't remember what PREP stands for, but it was a study done out of by some psychologists in Denver. You can find the book on it called Fighting for Your Marriage is the title of the book. It's a very good book. But it teaches this method of de-escalation in conflict. And so usually when we do this, we pick something that actually happened between us sometime recently. Is there anything you want to do and just out me on something I've done that hurts you or you struggle with?
Well, something that's in your rule of life is to be slow to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and not get like all tasky with me.
Okay, so we're going to
Which is really hard because we live together on a retreat center where everybody's, you know, tasking all the time, loving and serving people. So,
right.
And if people want to understand, well, how does this relate to the spiritual? It's one of the steps as you go in that helps you slow down and connect with the other and gives you a lot of self-awareness, which then you can take to the Lord and get healthy and holier with.
Right. So we're going to demonstrate the speaker listener technique and then talk about it a little bit so you understand. So Stephanie, so the one who's struggling the most gets to say their piece the first, and they get something called the floor. This is our little remote for the clock for the show. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be a piece of paper, a book, a rock, just can't throw it. And that means she's the one who gets to speak. My job is to repeat back to her satisfaction before I get the floor. So go ahead and tell them how bad I am, what I did.
Okay. So I'll just use an example. Yesterday, I wanted to get your permission to order something and to talk about an idea that I had to accommodate a guest or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the middle of it, you interrupted and gave me counterpoints of why it wasn't going to work very quickly in rapid fire response.
Right.
When I wanted to be able to explain how I knew about those issues and I was going to make them work. Like I had a plan that I knew that there were some issues in my plan, but, or some barriers to my plan, but that I had a way to combat it or deal with it. So, but where I took offense or where it was difficult was that you were interrupting and giving me counterpoints when I was trying to explain something to you.
So, yesterday when you were trying to describe how to accommodate an extra guest for the spiritual warfare retreat, instead of listening to you and letting you explain the whole thing, I fired back in the middle, interrupted you, counterpoints about why it wouldn't work.
That's correct.
And, I don't know. You didn't say how that made you feel, but I think it made you feel not cherished.
Dismissed.
Right.
Yeah.
So did I say it back properly?
You did.
Okay.
You did. So now I give you the floor.
So now I have the floor and then I get to say what I want to say and she has to repeat back. You're totally wrong. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't work that way. This one is too easy because I knew what I was doing wrong, but I could say is, well, so I acknowledge that I did that, what you said I did. I was just trying to save you time. But the funny part is I was wrong. It would work. And I just didn't understand because I didn't listen. So we're not giving a great example because this is too easy to unravel.
Well, but I could say at this point, thank you for acknowledging that.
Sure.
And I appreciate it. And you could have said at the end, like, I will work harder to listen and to assume that, you're an intelligent woman and that you might have a plan and might have a few good ideas, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you get the point, right?
The point is, yeah. So we teach it usually in a little bit better way than that, but it's all her fault. And yeah. So we'll have to fix that offline or something.
So I want to give a quote today. So I recently found out that my birthday saint, the date of my birthday is April 2nd. And Anyway, somebody looked this up for me because I didn't think there was a saint on my birthday. And it's Saint Francis of Paula. And I didn't know this saint, but this is the quote of the day today, which is very cool because we're talking about this feedback loop, this prep method on how to slow things down so that one person can explain, both people can feel heard, and you can bring down the ire and get some peace. So he says, put aside your hatred and animosity. Take pains to refrain from sharp words. If they escape your lips, do not be ashamed to let your lips produce the remedy, since they have caused the wounds. Pardon one another, so that later on you will not remember the injury. The recollection of an injury is itself wrong. It adds to our anger, nurtures our sin, and hates what is good. It is a rusty arrow and poison for the soul. It puts all virtue to flight. Wow.
You know, what's powerful is that a friend of mine, God rest his soul, has passed away, but he used to say, no ammo in the closet. He was a military guy. And he, meaning you don't store up ammo against your partner, meaning what is past is past. And in fact, I will say one of the hardest things for a man, I have a very high IQ that could sound very prideful. I'm just speaking it as fact. But I have no capability of emotionally processing too many things at once. Like if I hurt your feelings, and we dealt with this mostly early in the marriage, but and the speaker listener technique kind of helped to bring that down. Was give me one thing at a time, and if you bring up the past, I'm totally I go blue screen, because it's like, okay, now I have to deal with all the junk that I did last week, last month, last year, which is impossible, and deal with this blue screen, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, we can't do that. And if a man goes blue screen, I'm out, and checks out, well, good luck with that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really work, but, you know.
It doesn't. And, you know, I it's not that I go around quoting Jordan Peterson, but he said something that I think is very powerful. And I think this is one of the problems that we have in marriages, is people don't talk to each other anymore.
Right.
Right. And he said, if you don't plan 60 to 90 minutes a week,
isn't that cool?
To talk to your spouse, you know, to listen to the things that you don't want to listen to, or the things that are going on in the family, or the needs of your wife, you know, good luck, because it's just going to devolve and you're going to end up divorced. Literally, you know, you must learn to listen to one another. But what I love about this quote is he said, you know, take pains to refrain from sharp words. And he says, if they do, do not be ashamed to let your lips produce the remedy, since they have caused the wounds. Like, be humble and go, listen, I've hurt you and I'm sorry. And I didn't intend to hurt you, you know. I have had the power of using this with my children when I have realized that there's a deep-seated wound that they're carrying. And when it was revealed to me and I was able to, like, get over myself and say, I'm very sorry. It was never my intent to hurt you. Or when I've said it to you, I'm very sorry. It was never my intent to disrespect you, and I'm sorry for that. It opens up a space, because there is a deep desire in the human heart to be seen, to be loved, to connect, to be united. We don't want to be at odds with each other, you know? So I think at the central part of this is humility. humility, humility, be able to say, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong. And to listen to the pain of another so that you can address that pain and come back. Now, the onus is on the other to receive it.
Sure.
To receive the sorry and say, it's not good enough. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I've known of somebody who screamed back, you're not sorry. You know, you don't mean right, it. You know, right, okay, well, good luck with that.
Right.
That's not going to help either way. Right?
You know, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I want to just reiterate, speaker listener technique will give you what it's a technique that you should really learn as a couple. So you should read the book together and then practice it together because it really does de-escalate. So if you're trying to fix stuff and this show is helping, or you've been to the marriage retreat, or you're going to come, whatever, that is an incredibly powerful practical tool of de-escalation. And I promise you a steak dinner if you both try it willingly and it doesn't work, because it will always work when you use it willingly, both parties.
Right. And fully.
It will always de-escalate.
Give it the time it needs, yeah.
So if you want to learn more about all of this and you want to attend one of our marriage retreats, Divine Intimacy and Marriage, which has really changed the lives of so many couples, go out to spiritualdirection.com/events. That's spiritualdirection.com/events. And by the way, please help us out. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, and I know we have folks that do that, please like, or what do you call it? Is it subscribe?
Subscribe.
That's subscribe.
Get the bell.
The notification bell. And please share it with others.
Yeah.
Because it helps when people do that, tells the algorithm this is interesting. It'll present it to other Catholics.
Share it on your social media.
It'll help you get the word out, because we have our own pool, that pond that we fish in, so to speak, to help people. Mm-hmm. But we have limits. And the only way we can overcome those limits is for you to help us get to those you know who would be blessed by the content.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.